It's great to be with you today. My name's Craig, and it's good to be up here, myself and Shannon. Thank you for the privilege of bringing God's Word this morning. And I trust that God will speak to you and help us all this morning. Are you guys good? That's great. A few amens through your mask will also be good today, hey? Can you say amen through your mask? That's good. That's good. That's wonderful. Great. Let's pray. Father, we just pray your blessing on your word. You'd open our hearts and minds, bring revelation from your word and understanding, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope I'm going to do all right today and not get thrown off course. Avril and Annalene are not sitting in their usual spots, but I should be okay. Turn with me to John chapter 7, please, and verse 37. And I'm going to continue with what I started a month ago. The elders asked me to speak on stuff on the Holy Spirit. I've been doing quite a bit of that. I've just come back from Pretoria last weekend, and I did a weekend on life in the Spirit. And so we want to come to this well-known passage again, and I'm just going to quickly recap because the clock's ticking, and then I'm going to come to what I want to say this morning as well. And I really trust it will really help you. And so John 7, verse 37, it says, on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. And so I want to talk to you today about the work of the Holy Spirit and the way God sends His Spirit to us as believers to equip us, to help us, to resource us, to encourage us at a time like this. Because I really think we need it as we live through these days, having come through COVID, which has been really difficult. It's shaken many churches. It's been a difficult time. There are global shakings as well. In South Africa, we always have our own localized shaking. As we recently been through floods and so on, it's been a difficult time. And we need God to help us. Can you say amen? And we need God's supplies to come and enrich us and help us and supply and resource us and enrich us and encourage us. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. I spoke to you a while ago about the story of Sleeping Beauty. You can go and watch it on YouTube. This beautiful princess that falls asleep, and this handsome prince falls in love with her and kisses her and wakens her up. And I said, we really are in a time like that where God wants to awaken the church after a long COVID sleep that's also affected us in so many ways. And He wants to refresh us as well, because there is a harvest coming. And God is doing something today in the church, and you're starting to feel here and there outpourings of the Holy Spirit happening. It happened in Pretoria last weekend. God is doing stuff, and we want to be awake when God is on the move. He has more for us. God has more for us in our lives. He has more for you. He has more for me. And every major advance of the kingdom of God on earth was brought about by a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This day of visitation. Can you say amen? And so here in this passage, this Feast of Tabernacles, we've said that it was a gathering in Jerusalem where they were celebrating God's provision of water for them in the wilderness when they were about their wanderings in the wilderness for 40 years. And God supplied water from the rock and manna from heaven, and it was amazing. He took care of them and He looked after them. And so they gathered every year to celebrate God's goodness and to pray for rain. And the priest would pour out the water, and they would all shout and remember what God was done. But it was really a ritual, looking back and remembering. And Jesus was there at the Feast of Tabernacles. He came secretly because He was under opposition. And already in John 7, people are trying to kill Him, and He has to be careful. But he goes to the feast, and then on the last and greatest day of the feast, it says he stands up publicly, and He cries out in this loud voice, and He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Because out of my own being will flow rivers of living water. And so Jesus moves them from the ritual to the reality and from ordinary water to living water as he speaks at this great feast of tabernacle. And so what I was saying last time is that he's saying we need to come to him and drink. And friends, what's the most important thing at the moment is that we keep coming to Jesus and drinking. We keep coming to him. He's the one we drink from. We drink of Jesus on a daily basis, moment by moment. We have to drink from him. And when you first come to Jesus in your first act of faith, you drink of him for the first time. Happened in my own life about 44 years ago. I came to Jesus and I said, Lord, I believe you died for me. And I drank of Jesus for the first time and I drank the waters of salvation. Hallelujah. And I was born again and came into the kingdom of God. And that's what he says. We need to come to him and drink and we need to come to him and eat. He's the bread of life. And our believing leads to us receiving something. We receive the Holy Spirit when we come to Jesus. And the Spirit marks each person and makes them a Christian. The Spirit comes and dwells within. So you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you as a Christian. And Jesus is the doorway into the things of the Spirit. He said, you come to me and drink. And when you drink of Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit flows from Jesus and the Spirit flows from the cross. Hallelujah. Michael Eaton says, when the Spirit is at work, he glorifies Jesus. And the Spirit will not work in power when Jesus is not upheld. No authentic outpouring of the Spirit ever falls on heresy. And so that's why we must preach Jesus and we must lay gospel foundations everywhere and trust that the fire is going to fall on those gospel foundations. Hallelujah. To the glory of God. This is what we're living for. We're living for God to do this in these days. And I want to stir your faith as well. Jesus said to us in John 14, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will not abandon you, but I will come to you and I will meet with you. And I'll not leave you abandoned. I'll not leave you on your own. And he comes and he returns to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And he begins to dwell in us. And Paul says that in Galatians chapter 2. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. So if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you and Jesus lives in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I am in the Father and the Father is in me and I am in you. Hallelujah. So if you get confused about these things, it's mysterious. You say, well, you say, I'm living, but I'm not living. Jesus is in me and I'm in him and connected to him and Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in me. If you get confused, it's a great thing because it means you're touching the mystery of the Trinity. You're touching the mystery of what Jesus is talking about here, where we come into an understanding and an experience of the Holy Spirit through the person of Jesus. Hallelujah. But I went on to say last time that we must also keep coming back to him as believers, we must keep on drinking of him because Jesus is not a bottle that runs dry, but he's a fountain that keeps flowing. And when we come to him, we must keep drinking. And so we must, listen carefully, we must become a spirit receiving church, not just a word believing church. Says Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will receive. And so we want to believe, and our believing must lead to receiving in our lives. We must believe and experience. We must taste and see that the Lord is good. And this receiving of the Holy Spirit, friends, it's for our own lives, but it's also for mission. It's to prepare us to go out on mission. Jesus said, wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you must go out. Then you must go on mission. He empowers us to go out on mission. And so the Spirit comes upon us at conversion. He dwells in us, but the Spirit also comes upon us after conversion. And you find the Apostle Peter received three separate infillings of the Spirit after the day of Pentecost, where God came upon him again and again and again and filled him with the Holy Spirit. We were at home the other night, Shannon and I, we play music in our kitchen. And we're listening to some Heather Clark music again. We haven't listened to for years. And as we were listening to the music and she was cooking and I was chatting to her, I tend to do more talking while she does the cooking. We just felt the presence of God come into our kitchen. And I said to Shannon, honey, switch off the stove. Come here. And we just started worshiping the Lord in our kitchen because the presence of God came. And I prayed for her and she prayed for me because the presence of God came down. And I want to encourage you to expect that in your life. And so it's so important, friends, for unbelievers to come to Jesus and drink from the wells of salvation. And it's so important for us as believers to come and drink at the wells of infilling, to keep coming back to Him. And Jesus said, we need to be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. He said, I'm commanding you to be filled with my Spirit. Hallelujah. And it's absolutely wonderful. And it comes whether you're feeling strong or whether you're feeling weak. I've recently had 2 teeth removed surgically, cut out my jaw, and it's been really painful. I've been in toothache for 3 months, and I was feeling sorry for myself. And my poor wife, driving her crazy. And I actually phoned the guys up in Pretoria. I said, look, I don't think I can come up there. I'm just not well. I've had teeth removed and this and that. And we canceled it. And afterwards, I felt the Lord say to me, no, I want you to go. I want you to go anyway. And so I phoned Him back. I said, look, I'm coming. And even in my weakness, even in my pain, someone said to me, how many teeth did they remove? I said, it feels more like how many teeth are left in my mouth. But even in my weakness, God moved, and so you don't have to be a superstar. You come to Him in your weakness. He fills you. You're thirsty for Him. He's just looking for thirst. He's looking for you to be thirsty. And I think in these days of great upheaval, we need to keep coming and drinking. Say, Lord, I need more and more of You. I need You to sustain me. I need You to refresh me. And so what I want to share this morning is, that was just my recap, is how do I receive more of the Holy Spirit? How do I stay in touch with Jesus in these days? Because the ministry of the new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit. How do I keep my soul in contact with the living God so that the Spirit of God keeps flowing through my life? And I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to give you 6 ways that we receive grace and resourcing from Jesus in our lives. And I'll go through them fairly quickly, but I'm trusting that they're going to help you, these 6 points. First of all, my first point is this. Cultivate the art of recognizing the presence of Jesus everywhere. Not just when you're in church, but when you go to work tomorrow, when you're in your chambers, when you're in your surgery, when you're in school, when you're in your kitchen. Start to recognize the presence of God everywhere. Jesus said, I will not leave you or forsake. He's with us. And learn to recognize His moving. Learn to recognize His presence. Learn to recognize His inner voice and His nearness. As you wake up every morning, I'm trying to do that. You wake up every morning, try and tune yourself in. Say, Lord, thank You. You're with me today. Thank You for Your presence, Lord. We become people of the Spirit where we're aware of the Spirit of God. We're aware of the Spirit of Jesus with us every day. Not just of ourselves, but we're aware of Him in us. Hallelujah. And then secondly, read your Bible. Read your Bible as though Jesus was speaking to you. As though Jesus was sitting next to you. Hallelujah. Read your Bible in that way. Look for Jesus in the Scriptures and do what He's telling you to do. Develop your hearing of Jesus in this visual age. Lord, speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. And so we come to the Word and we love the Word and we're reading the Word and we're making a practice of reading the Word. But when we read the Word, we're listening. We're not just reading, we're listening, because you read with your eyes and you listen with your ears. And so you're reading and listening at the same time. And you're reading and God's speaking to you. Hallelujah. And you're saying, Lord, what are You saying? And He's talking to you and He's ministering to you. And His Word's coming alive. And it becomes the sword of the Spirit as God begins to work with you. And folks, we need that in these days. And so we want to be a people of the Spirit, but we also want to be a people of the Word. And this is the great challenge today, friends. When you've been a Christian for a long time, when you've been a leader for a long time, you can see so often the church goes, and I've told you this many times, the church goes one way into the things of the Spirit, and we become weak on the Word. Or we go the other way. If you're more evangelical and not charismatic, you go the other way, and we're strong on the Word, and we see the Word as the senior partner. And the Holy Spirit is the junior partner. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, becomes the junior partner. And yet God wants us to be people of Word and people of Spirit. The other day, Shannon's car, we've been driving her car a lot around Kloof because it zips around. It's a lekker little car. I got a bigger bucky. And then I found it was pulling to the left all the time. And I said to her, you need to get your alignment done. You get on the road and the car's going like this. You get on the road and the car's going like this. So I went and had the alarm. They recorrected me driving in the center of the road. They're Christians today. They're walking like this. Their churches, they go like this. They're pulling one way or pulling the other way. Their movements, pulling one way. We're in the Word. Or they're pulling the other way. We're in the Spirit. God wants us in the center of the road these days. Jesus said in Matthew 22, listen carefully, he said, you're in error because you don't know the Word or the Spirit. And either can take you into error. People think, no, if we have the Word, we won't go into error. No, it'll become dry. And you can have the dead letter, even with your accurate preaching. And we need the Holy Spirit to breathe on the Word of God and to make it come alive and to speak to us. Because the goal of preaching is not accuracy. Let me say that again to shock you. The goal of preaching is not just accuracy. The goal of preaching is transformed lives. The goal of preaching is when God comes. And you know God has spoken to us. And God is amongst us. And so we want to be people of the Word. And we want to be people of the Spirit. And maybe you need to go and get realigned. Maybe you need to get realigned because you're pulling one way or the other. If you're not reading your Bible, get into the Scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the Word. But if you're just relying on feelings and moving of the Spirit and people praying for you and the power of God and you're not getting into the Word, then get into the Word. But if you're just in the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, and there's no power, then we need to get into and ask God for the power of God. And folks, this thing is so serious today that we have normalized this abnormal behavior in the church today. And so we can read about the Spirit, but we don't flow in the Spirit. The gifts have ceased in the church today. And we can talk about power, but we can be strangers to power. And I'm not saying I'm an expert. And we can teach through the book of Acts, but we never experience the book of Acts. And we can teach about the baptism in the Spirit. And then we close our Bibles and say, okay, we're going for coffee. There's cappuccinos over there. We don't pray for anybody. And nobody thinks this is odd. It's like going to university and doing a degree on business, running a business, entrepreneurship, and you say to your lecturer, have you ever run a business? And he says, never in my life. I've just done an honors, a master's, a PhD in business. I've never run a business. But you're listening to him to tell you how to start a business. And today we're in the church where we're teaching about stuff we're not experiencing anymore. Nobody thinks it's a problem. And it's a serious problem. I have to speak about some of these things today because there's a crisis looming. And God wants to meet us through the Word. And change our lives. This Word becomes, we tremble at the Word because we know when I open this Word, God is going to speak to me. It's His living Word. We say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. But he also meets with us through worship as he did this morning and through encounter. And we gather together. Oh, and we must gather. Thank you for gathering this morning. When you gather, there's a blessing. Zoom has reached its sell-by date in many ways. I'm not saying we mustn't use it, but it's reached its sell-by date. There's an anointing lifting off Zoom meetings. We have to gather. We have to come together. Because when we gather, God is in us. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, I'm in your midst. I'm in your presence. And God is in our midst. And then we begin to sing to him who's here. And we gather unto him who's here. We begin to flow in the Spirit. And God has his way amongst us. Hallelujah. And number four, we need to see breaking of bread as a supply, as a resource to us. It's so important that when we gather around the table, we break bread. It's a means of supply. It's a means of grace to us. And Jesus is not on the table as the Catholics would have us believe, but he's at the table and he's present and there's grace. And so we want to honor that sacrament, and we want to honor the presence of Jesus there and let him move amongst us and do stuff amongst us and change us and move in our hearts. And so breaking of bread is wonderful. And then number five, another means of grace is prayer, where you begin to pray. Personal prayer and corporate prayer, where you just say, oh Lord, you just begin to pray, and the secret of the shut door, you close the door and you pray to your Father who's unseen, and he sees what you're doing in secret, and he will reward you. He'll reward you. You'll get up from your prayer time and you will feel different. And you'll feel you've left your burdens at the foot of the cross. And you will feel God is with you. And when you come together, we pray together. And there's corporate prayer and it's kingdom prayer. And you're praying for advance and you're praying for the kingdom of God to come and break in again. And we need to do that in these days. Hallelujah. And then finally, I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want to spend a bit more time on this morning. It's so important. And they asked me to speak on the gifts as well. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, listen carefully, is the manifestation that God gives to every believer when you believe. Each one of you today have natural gifts you were born with, and you have spiritual gifts you were given at conversion. Hallelujah. And they're there to edify you, and they're there to edify others. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us this, friends, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us about these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 4, it says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each, say to each, say to me, a manifestation of the Spirit has been given for the common good. To one is given this, to another is that. And in Romans it says, according to the measure of faith that God has given us. Hallelujah. And so each one of us have received a gift of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you again to keep moving in your gift, to ask God to help you to know what your gifts are. If you haven't used them for a while, blow the dust off them and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you again in those areas and begin to move in those gifts. Particularly, listen carefully, the prophetic word, which is arguably one of the greatest gifts. Paul says, and the greatest of these is prophecy, that you may bring a word of encouragement. And so Paul says to Timothy, do not neglect the gift you have. In 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by the body of elders when they laid their hands upon you and they prayed for you. And we need that prophetic word. We need God to speak to us. And sometimes he can speak to us through his word or through others. And we wage warfare with that word. And we go back to that word and we live on that word. But it comes through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you today, don't minimize this. But know that God has gifted you. And Shannon and I, as a married couple, we've been married forever now. And we're slowly getting to the point when we deal with people and situations, I'll say to her, honey, I think you need to deal with that because you're much better at that than I am. You're more gifted at that than I am. And we're beginning to flow and understand each other's gifts. So we're not just jumping in, but we're moving on the basis of our gifting. Hallelujah. And so we need to be like that individually as well. But then God has also given us what the Bible talks about, Ephesians 4 gifts. And it says that in Ephesians chapter 4. It's a wonderful passage. And it says when Jesus ascended on high, verse 7, Ephesians 4, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. When he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And then it says in verse 11, and he gave the apostles and he gave the prophets and he gave the evangelists and he gave the pastors and he gave the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And then if you carry on, it says in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love will grow up in every way unto him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint by which it is equipped. See that word equipped? When each part is functioning properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Hallelujah. So what are these Ephesians 4 gifts? We don't talk about this stuff today, but they're so important. 40 years ago, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the church, and we came out of Baptist churches and Presbyterian churches and Methodist churches, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit, and we had meetings, and it was amazing. And individuals were filled with the Spirit. Speak to Roger and Colleen, they'll tell you about those days. Have a word with them. It's wonderful. And we were filled with the Spirit individually. But then there was a day that came where we discovered an underground pipeline that had been buried that we didn't know about, that we didn't understand. And it was called the Ephesians 4 gifts to the church. And as we discovered that in New Frontiers, which is a previous movement we were part of, we discovered apostles and we discovered prophets and we discovered pastors and teachers and evangelists in all that were given to equip the church and bring the church to maturity. Hallelujah. What are these gifts? These gifts are the supply to the church. They supply lines to the church to bring the church to maturity. They're not just people who have gifts. They're people who are gifts themselves. They're not just gifts operating in the church. They're operating for the church. And they bring the church to maturity. Jesus said, I'm giving you these gifts to bring you to much, to supply you with what you need. And so my hand is working. Why? Because my heart is pumping blood that supplies my arm down to my hand. If you cut off that supply, this hand is going to die. And these are the supply lines that Jesus gives apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to bring the church to maturity. Hallelujah. Terry Virgo says this. Let me read this to you. I want to labor this a little bit. It's so important. Terry Virgo says this. He says, when I saw him recently, it was just wonderful. He's in his 80s. He's still preaching this stuff. He's amazing. He says, he gave gifts. He quotes Andrew Lincoln. What does the exalted Christ give to the church? He gives people, particular people who proclaim the word and lead. He doesn't just give grace to people, but he gives specific people to people. And he says these gifts are hugely significant. The ascended Christ has given these gifts and ministries for a goal in mind. He wants a glorious church, a mature body, growing to the fullness of Christ, to a mature man. It should be our passion to see a glorious church that attains to the maturity. God has not given up on the church. He's given gifts to bring the church to its fullness. And then he says, when Jesus ascended, he gave apostles and prophets. We don't even talk like this so much anymore. But he gave apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors and teachers. He says, if we only acknowledge the role of pastors and teachers, we miss God's purpose for the church. And Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great Martin Lloyd-Jones, says, think of the church as a living community. Each one has faith. Each one has life. Each one has grace given to them. And so listen carefully. I'm going to say something really important we don't always get. You start with grace before you get to function. You ask, what grace has God given before you get to function? So I'm a strength finder coach. And I coach people, Christians, I coach business and other things. Recently I did a whole team in Uganda, Moses, and I'm about to do his church and his leaders as well. So I'm on Zoom and they're in Uganda. And when I do your strengths, what are your strengths? It's your talents that you were born with. I will interview you, you'll do a test, and it's really amazingly accurate. And I've done it with Rob and his business. I've done it with other places. And I will help you to see what gifts and grace God has given you. It's so exciting. It's wonderful. But I will do two things when I interview you. On the one hand, we'll look at your gifts. And on the other hand, we'll look at your job description. And we'll bring them together. What we normally do is we just look at the job description. You must look at gifts first. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, he says, by the grace given me, I say to you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And then he goes on, he says, for as in the body we have many members, and the members do not have the same function, having gifts according to the grace that God has given us. And so when I speak to people, I look at their gifts, and then I look at their jobs. And sometimes it's a wonderful match. Other times you look and you think, this person is functioning in the wrong place. So we had a situation in Uganda where they had a manager there, and when I looked at her gifts, I said, we need to change this, what this person is doing, because they don't have the gifts to fulfill the role. And it's the same in the church. We must see grace, and we must see gifting. It's so, so important, and it's liberating, because then you start doing what you've created to do. Hallelujah. You start flowing in the way God has made you. You don't just put people in positions, but you start with grace. You ask yourself, what grace am I carrying? What grace has God given me? Hallelujah. And then you begin to function in that area. And then you have a body that's well developed in every area. And if you don't have it in the local church, you bring it in. Just like I went to Pretoria and helped them a little bit. You bring in a different grace to bring the church to. People said when I left, they said that was like a breath of fresh air. We needed to hear that prophetic ministry in our church as well. So it's so important, folks, to bring the church to maturity. And I'm just encouraging us to look at this again. It's so, so important. We want the body to be mature and grow up and be well developed. Hallelujah. And I think it's something God's emphasizing at the moment. Saying, come on, church. I've supplied you with these supply lines. Let's tap into them. Let's use them for the glory of God. Hallelujah. We're not all teachers. We're not all apostles. We're not all prophets. We're not all Ephesians 4 gifts. But let's use the gifts we've got in order to grow and to come to maturity. Hallelujah. And so we'll find that these are some of the ways that the Spirit flows to us. I said 3 months ago, Avril and them came, and I listened to Terry Virgo again, who had an apostolic gift. And he's 80 now. And when I listened to him preach, I started crying again, because I sat under an apostolic gift. I sat under his gift. And it wasn't just what he was saying, it's what he was doing in the meeting. It's what was happening in the meeting Something was happening in the spirit because of the grace that was in his. He's a carrier of grace. And you're a carrier of God's grace. And when you touch others, they experience the grace that's upon your life. And I went to him after and said, Terry, thank you so much for the way you shaped my life and the way you've blessed me over the years, over 30 years now, Terry. Thank you so much. I recognize the grace that's in your life because, listen carefully, you'll never find what you're not looking for. If you're not looking for the stuff, you won't find it. But if you recognize it, you'll be able to receive it. And it will change you. And it will grow you. And it will develop you. And friends, that's what we need today. A mature body growing up unto the head, even Christ. These are some of the supply lines. Awareness of God on my daily life. Secondly, being open to God's word. Treating God's word seriously in these days. Loving worship. Loving worship. And being sensitive to his presence. Breaking of bread, where we see it not just as a ritual, but as a means of grace. A means of supply. Prayer. We are praying and God comes. I've been finding that lately, even as I pray, oh Lord, I've got toothache. I'm feeling terrible. I've taken so many painkillers. I start praying. And God just comes to me and helps me. So, Lord, I'm sorry. Go downstairs and say to my wife for the 100th time, sorry I've been a pain, honey. I love you, honey. Why? Because I'm in touch with God. He's speaking to me. And then in his gifts, flowing in his gifts, knowing your gifts, asking folk, what gifts do you recognize in me? Stepping out and flowing in the gifts. And friends, it's all for mission. It's not just to make us feel better. It's to get us ready for mission. It's to reach a lost and a dying world. Hallelujah. These are some of the ways that the Spirit flows in us and through us and among us. Hallelujah. That's what happens. And this is what we need to ask God for. We need God to ask us to help us. And so I want to pray for you today that you don't neglect your gift. Don't neglect your gift. Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect your gift. So what happens is we don't reject our gift, but we just neglect it. There's a difference. Say, well, I haven't rejected it, but you can neglect it. Pick it up. Say, Lord, thank you. Help me to move in this gift. And let's encourage one another in that. And so what I want to do as I close today, my time's up, I'd love us to just pray for each other this morning. So keep your mask on, but I want you just to reach out and pray for the person next to you. Or pray for your wife if she's here or your husband. And when you pray, this is the third part, this is going to take 1 minute. When you pray, whenever you pray for someone, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If you're praying for the baptism in the Spirit, if you're praying for the infant, come to Jesus. He's the great baptizer. He sends the Spirit. Come to Jesus. Begin to worship Jesus. Secondly, in your heart, believe the promise. Believe that God has more for you. Hallelujah. You didn't receive it all at conversion. God has got more for you. Ongoing infillings of the Spirit. Thirdly, ask God. Just ask Him. Just say, Lord, ek is so droog vandag. I'm so dry, Lord. I need you so much. What did Jesus say? He said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And just say, Lord, I just need more of you. I'm dry. I need some oiling. I'm squeaking. I need oiling. I need lubrication. I need more of your Spirit. I need infilling. And then number four, get ready to receive. Confess anything you need to confess. If you've been sinning, confess that. Get rid of idols. Just say, Lord, please come and meet with me. God gives you Spirit to those who obey Him. And then believe God is going to empower you to be a witness. Because whatever goes into you as a Christian must come out of you. Because impression without expression creates depression. So all that you've received and all that you've learned and all the thousands of sermons you've heard, it must flow out of you to others. Otherwise, you'll just blow up. And finally, lay hands on people and just pray. The laying on of hands is another way we receive more of the Spirit. And give thanks to God. Speak in tongues. Those of you that can speak in tongues, don't neglect the gift of tongues. The Bible says tongues edifies you. So when you speak in tongues, you get edified, you get encouraged. And prophecy edifies others. So lay hands on people and then finally see if they receive. Just ask them, what did God do for you? And maybe you've got a word for them. So number one, come to Jesus, believe the promise, ask him, get ready to receive, lay hands on people and see if they receive. Okay? Can we do that this morning? Can we? Can we pray for one another? Let's do this. Shall we? So what we're going to do now is we're going to just stand together. And I would encourage you, I'm going to pray for you now and encourage you just to pray for the person next to you. And just say, come Lord Jesus. And touch my friend here. Touch my sister. Touch my brother. And fill them today with your Spirit. And open yourself up to receive more of him. Hallelujah. If you're a visitor, we'd love to pray for you as well. If you don't know Jesus, we'd love to lead you to Jesus. Amen. We want to pray for one another. Husbands and wives, we want to pray for each other. Bless each other. If you don't know what to pray, just bless people. Say, I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you. And just love them in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, come and fill them now. Touch them now. More of your Spirit, Lord. More of your presence, Lord. Friends, we need it. We need it today. We need it so much in this moment. And Jesus is wanting to pour out his Spirit. The drops are beginning to fall. Stuff is big. People are saying to me, a couple of people said to me, Craig, stuff's starting to happen. I said, I know. I can see it. Stuff is starting to happen. God wants to get us ready. He wants us not just to be a word-believing church. He wants us to be a Spirit-receiving church. Our believing must lead to receiving. We must learn how to receive from Jesus. Not just to believe Jesus. And as we open up, God begins to move us into fresh things. Hallelujah. Takes over your personality. And he fills it. And he softens it and he changes it by the power. The Holy Spirit can invade your personality. Do you know that? If Jesus can walk through a door to meet with his disciples after his resurrection, he can walk into your personality. He can invade your personality. He can invade your thinking. He can invade your attitudes. He can invade your motivation. He can invade your sin. He can invade your idols. And he can change you. We are changed from one degree of glory to another as we behold the Lord, who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. God will change you and he'll transform you by the power of the Holy Spirit.